This is Blessed Trails with Belinda Gale on Equestrian Legacy Radio. Heard around the world on our free mobile app and online at equestrianlegacy.net.
I am so glad our trails have crossed. Oh, the joy you bring to me. And as I look upon each face, such kindness there I see. I wish for you the love of God, a love that never fails. And as we travel life's long path, I wish you blessed trails. Trails now go their separate ways, and life goes rolling on. I hope our trails will cross again before God takes us home. We share the wondrous love of God, a love that never fails. And as we travel long path, I wish you blessed trails. Yes, as we travel life's long path, I wish you blessed trails. Blessed trails.
Welcome to Blessed Trails. I'm Belinda Gale, and I am so delighted to be your host as we visit with interesting and diverse guests. We also have the honor of featuring our guest gospel, patriotic, and sometimes inspirational music, and sometimes poetry, most all of which has a definite Western flair. Our guest today primarily performs in cowboy churches, but don't let that fool you. This cowgirl has an amazing voice that I could listen to all day. So before we bring her on, let's listen to her fun song titled, I Met Jesus in Texas.
West of Abilene.
little Bob Wills thing at the end. That was very cute. I am pretty sure the first time I met this lovely lady was at Melody Ranch in Santa Clarita, California. She'll have to correct me if I'm wrong, but she has such a beautiful smile and a warm personality. She's just one of those people that you like instantly. And she's so humble that I'm embarrassed to say I didn't even realize that she sang until I saw her Facebook announcement that she had a CD coming out. My first thought was, wow, cool. I love to hear her sing. And man, oh man, was I delighted when I did. Her voice is unique and polished, and I have thoroughly enjoyed everything I have ever heard her sing. I definitely think she should branch out from Cowboy Church. I am so tickled to share not only her music with you today, but this precious lady. I am honored to welcome to the show Miss Kimmy Hudson. Welcome, Kimmy.
Well, hello, Belinda.
So how are you doing, girlfriend?
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you very much. And what a pleasure it is to be with you today. And I you are correct. The first time we did meet was at Melody Ranch, and it was quite a few years back. And you were performing there, and I know you've had the privilege of performing there many times. And I got to hear you sing with the Sons of the San Joaquin as well. And it was always a blessed time for me to go because my family, my sister-in-law, Chantel, her parents own Melody Ranch. And so for me, it was always a homecoming of music and friends and family all in one place.
That's so cool. For people who don't know, Melody Ranch was Gene Autry's a movie set that Gene Autry originally built, and a lot of westerns were filmed there and are continuing to be filmed there. So it's still a working movie ranch that they were opening up to us to be able to have our music festival there. So that's pretty cool because you could like go there whenever you want to. You have family that owns it. That's cool.
Yeah, that is true. It's always just been a fun time for me when I get to go back home to Santa Clarita, since my dad and brother still live in that area. And of course, my little brother is married into the family. And so it's just always a homecoming for me. And yes, I believe Gunsmoke was filmed there, was one of the big television series that was originally filmed at Melody Ranch. So there's a lot of history there that's special.
A lot of history there. Speaking of history, you had a pretty interesting childhood. We need to talk about your growing up years a little bit. So you didn't start out in California.
Well,
so tell us what that was like.
In California, my dad was a rockabilly singer in the 50s and 60s. And he also had a sister that she was a nightclub performer during that era. And so there's a lot of talent, I guess you could say, in the family that goes back many years. And my dad cut several records on the Challenge record label back then, but never really got the push he needed to make it big, but had all the talent in the world to be able to make it big in the 50s and 60s doing the rockabilly style music. And so when that didn't work out for him, his brother-in-law was the late actor Keenan Wynn. And so he got my dad started working on movie sets, predominantly doing what they call greens work or set decoration. And then eventually he moved into doing prop work. And so as a young girl, I got to go on a lot of the movie sets with my dad and visit while they were filming. So that was just always kind of a fun behind the scenes thing to do. And yeah, it was. And so he worked on a lot of different television series and different movies. And but our thing, my dad and I, we were always close when I was growing up, and we just loved to watch westerns on television. As a child, I would just snuggle up with him on the couch, and we would watch John Wayne or my favorite all-time western is The Searchers by John Wayne, and
horse,
another one,
horse, yeah,
that's a good one. And I also love Shane with Alan Ladd. That was another one of my favorite movies. But, you know, Bonanza and Gunsmoke and The Big Valley, that was one that was always my big favorite. And I love Nick Barkley. And and so that was just time for years that we spent together. And that's where my love for the Western lifestyle, my love for horses, really kind of came out of the movie genre.
Wow. So I guess I misunderstood. You were in the in Southern California your whole life then. I was thinking you had moved there, but no, you were always there.
Oh, no. No, I was raised in Southern California until I was in my early 30s and then moved to Colorado and lived there for 4 years and then moved to Texas and was in Texas for 17 years.
Well, we're gonna talk about all of that when we get there, but I want to a little bit more about your childhood. And now, was church a part of your family's life? Is that something that you guys did as a family, or was that? I mean, there's a lot of it wasn't for me when I grew up, and I know a lot of people it wasn't.
No, it actually was not. My dad, as talented as he was, also had a drinking problem, and he was an alcoholic, and so. When I was about 10 years old, my mom was in a place where she had had enough and had asked him to leave. And then my dad was so hurt at the idea of losing his family that he made the decision to quit drinking. And so it completely changed our family's life at that point, as far as we all got involved in the Alcoholics Anonymous program. But in AA, they teach you about learning to find a power that's greater than yourself. And we had gone to Catholic church on Easter and Christmas, like many families do. And so AA kind of tried to teach you to pursue a deeper relationship. And it wasn't long. I was in my early 20s when my dad started to read the Bible. And he started to become more and more curious about what the Bible had to say. And a friend of my mom's, who at one time actually was married to Elvis's hairdresser, her name was Stevie. Yeah, she actually got to live in Graceland. She started talking to my mom about the Lord. And so it was like the Lord was calling both my parents at the same time through different channels. And so they started having a Bible study in our home. And a couple months into the Bible study, I started to become curious myself. I was 23 years old. And and I really just felt like the Lord was touching me personally as well. I'd had a lot of heartbreak as a young teenager, like many teenagers do. And I really felt like the Lord restored my heart and made me whole. Mm. And so that's when my dad and I, we started doing music on the rodeo circuit. So that it kind of in church services and that sort of thing on the rodeo circuit. So that kind of changed our direction.
Wow. That's so awesome that your folks were both kind of on the same page as far as with their search, that because often it's one or the other. It's not at the same time like that. So that's really true. Cool. You sound like you had a pretty cool childhood and definitely interesting, fascinating childhood. And how awesome for your dad to be able to actually wake himself up, you know, and get him out of that drinking cycle that is so destructive. That just shows what kind of character that he really has. That's awesome. Well, we're going to talk more about your life, but before we do, I would like to play another one of your songs, and we're going to be playing We'll Rest at the End of the Trail. Can you tell us about that?
Well, this was a song written by Kurt Poulton and Fred Rose. And I've always been a fan of kind of that sound of the 1950s Western movies with the big orchestra music score. And so I was kind of researching those types of songs when I knew I was going to be doing this CD. And I heard this one, and I just thought the melody was so beautiful. And I just love the idea of knowing that we're on a journey, and when it's over, we're going to find that rest from the weariness of this world. And so that's where that comes from.
It's a cool song. I'm eager to share it with everybody. So let's listen to "We'll Rest at the End of the Trail."
The road is mighty dusty, old pal. The sun is sinking low beyond the range. We're still together, trusty old pal. Riding the trail so strange, weary and tired, our work is all through, but we'll rest at the end of the trail. We'll stand round the fire when there's nothing to do, but we'll rest at the end of the trail. If we feel like roping, we'll hitch to a star. Just keep on loping, it's not very far. Weary and tired, our work is all through, but we'll rest at the end of the
to it that I really, really enjoy. And you started singing fairly young in your life. I mean, you weren't like 3 or 4 like some people start out. But tell us about your musical journey and how singing became a part of your life.
Well, I was about 15 when I started to actually sing in front of people. Now, my dad, like a lot of parents, would have me and my brother sing for guests and things that would come over the house. So there was just always a real love and passion for music and all different types of music. But I really, watching Roy Rogers and Gene Autry, of course, I really had a love for Western music. But I began singing more on the traditional country side when I first started singing. And I would sing on the rodeo circuit in California at different events, and I used to sing the national anthem quite a bit at several rodeos as a teenager. And then my dad and I formed a band when I was 17, and it was an interesting name for a band. It has a the significance again in Alcoholics Anonymous. It was called Trudge. T-R-U-D-G-E, Trudge.
That sounds like
and it comes from, I know. It comes from a saying that says, as we trudge the road to happy destiny. And I thought that was always kind of an oxymoron, trudge and on your way to happy destiny. It just doesn't seem
yes,
to go
yeah,
together. But
it doesn't.
But that was the name of the band. And so my dad would do a lot of traditional rock and roll and rockabilly songs, and I would sing country, Emmylou Harris. Tanya Tucker was big at that time, and I loved singing Ray Price and Merle Haggard. And so, in the band, we kind of were a dance band, played a lot of dances and that sort of thing. And so I kind of cut my teeth singing traditional country. But as time went on, I was actually in California on my way to the Mid-State Fair, and I heard a song called Roly Poly by Bob Wills on a college radio station. And I had to call the radio station and say, who is that? And so they told me, of course. And so I started buying a lot of Bob Wills music and just fell in love with it. And where I first learned about Western swing music. But of course, the traditional Western music started coming because I met a guy named Scott O'Malley in Colorado. I know you know who Scott O'Malley is.
Sure.
And so he introduced me to the sounds of the Sons of the San Joaquin and Don Edwards. And so I started to learn about a lot of the current Western music artists that are out now. And so, because radio doesn't play our Western music in a lot of the bigger forums, it's
right.
hard to ever really hear that music unless you're somehow around the lifestyle that promotes it. So that's when I started myself wanting to learn to sing more Western swing, more Western music. But the gospel has always been very important to me, and my ministering either in worship, on a worship team at church. So when I was able to learn a lot, that there was a lot of cowboy gospel music out there, it just seemed like a real good fit for me to start performing the cowboy gospel music.
Yeah. Wow. Well, that's a really cool part, a facet of your life that I'm really interested in. But also getting back to that moment when you first really came to know the Lord through your parents having the Bible study in their home and all of that, I would like, if you don't mind sharing, how
sure. –
That transition, because I know for me as a young person, because I was like 17 when I came to know the Lord, and it was amazing to me that I could have this intimate relationship with the Lord. It was amazing to me that I now felt completely safe and like, He had me, that from in my life. It was, there's things like that that you feel, when you first know the Lord and then as you deepen your relationship with the Lord. So how did that kind of unfold for you?
Well, when I was a teenager, I really was looking for love in all the wrong places, to quote a famous song. Looking for that love and acceptance through the relationships I had with, of course, teenage boys at the time and young men. And I always found myself, of course, giving in to the temptations that most teenagers do. But for me, the hurt of the loss every time one of those relationships ended just made me feel not very worthy of love. I was looking for that love and acceptance in those relationships. Mm-hmm. And when I was about 23, even at that young age, I just became really burnt out. And one of the other things I love to do besides singing is dancing. I've always been a dancer. And so they were having Bible study at my house one night, and I was getting dressed up to go dancing, and the pastor had come over to do the Bible study, and he walked up to me and he said, Kimmy, I've been praying for you, and the Lord has shown me a couple things about you that I would like to share with you, if that's okay. And I said, okay. I was a little skeptical, but like, all right, go ahead. And he looked at me and he said, God sees you when you're looking in the mirror, and most of the time you think you're really ugly, but sometimes you think you're beautiful. But God wants you to know that he thinks you're beautiful. So I looked at him and said, oh, okay. And he said, and the other thing is that no one is good but God. All right. Is that it? Yep, that's it. So I said, okay, well, thank you. And I went out and I went dancing. And I came in late at night, about 2 and 3 in the morning. And I laid in my bed and I just started to weep. I just started to cry. And I knew that nobody in the whole world but God knew that I did that when I looked in the mirror. And I'd never told anybody that. I'd never shared that with anybody. There's no way the pastor could know that I did that every single day. And so I knew the Lord was personally trying to talk to me. And then the no one is good but God was, I thought I was going to heaven just because I was a good person. And kind of one of those things like, well, I'm a Christian. I live in America. And we all know that that's not what makes you a Christian. And so, in my heart, I knew that when I compared what I thought was my own goodness to what God's goodness is, I knew I didn't measure up. I knew I wasn't perfect. I knew that I made mistakes. I knew I did things that were wrong. And so I gave my heart to the Lord like a day after that all happened. And I remember when the scripture said, though your sins be as scarlet, you will be made white as snow. And the idea of feeling like I'd been purified from all of the sin I was in before I had received the Lord, just that idea of being washed clean and having a fresh start, it just changed my life.
Wow. That's beautiful, Kimmy.
Oh, thank you, Belinda.
Oh, thank you for sharing that too. And so then that led you to redirect your music into gospel, just that profound transformation that happened within you, it sounds like.
Yes. My dad and I, we had done secular music together, but then once we had become Christians, we actually started to play and sing at church. And so that was kind of the direction I went to, because, the ministry for me was important. And I wanted to share with other people the change that the Lord had made in my life. Mm-hmm. And I felt that for me, the best way to do that was through music. And so when the opportunity came up with Ben and Tracy Scott to go on the rodeo circuit to do cowboy churches at the rodeo, I jumped in at that chance. And so, you know, as a performer, you can get the background tracks and that sort of thing. So I would get some background tracks and then perform at the rodeo circuit that way. So, yeah.
Wow. That is so cool. You've been singing so much longer than I even realized. I'm so embarrassed. I didn't know that you sang.
Well, and the truth is, you have seen me at many of the festivals that you perform at through the years because of my love and passion for the music. My life circumstances never really allowed me quite to be able to do it on a full-time basis. I had to work a regular job and support my kids. I was single for a long time. As a single mom, I had to support my kids. And you know how hard it is to make a living in music oftentimes.
Right.
So when I was able to do the CD was at a time in my life where I was working in the oil and gas business in Texas as a landman. And I was making the best salary I had ever made. And so I was able to save enough money to finance the CD and actually produce it. So it had always been a desire of my heart. I just never really had the opportunity to do it until a couple years ago.
Well, I am so glad you did. Well, we're going to listen to another one of your songs now. And tell us about When the Cowboys Sing Again. Where'd that song come from?
Oh, I love to tell you about that. One of my favorite songwriters is a gentleman by the name of Scotty Vaughn. And Scott used to sing with the Flying W Wranglers in Colorado Springs. Mm-hmm. And I used to work for Dr. James Dobson in Colorado Springs at Focus on the Family. And one year, as a gift to the ministry, the Flying W Wranglers recorded a Cowboy Christmas CD. And Scott Vaughn was one of the singers in the band. And he sang a song called The Pot-Bellied Stove, which is my favorite Christmas song. And so I just became a fan of his ever since then. And same thing, when I was looking for songs for the CD, I saw some of Scott's work, and this one particularly stood out to me about the cowboys being out and doing their work and singing to the Lord while they're out moving cattle. And I just love it.
Well, I'm eager for everyone to hear it, and it's called When the Cowboys Sing Again.
The sky is always clearer, and the sun shines like a friend. Lakes that shine like mirrors and ripple in the wind. The prairie
drifting higher and higher.
I like that song.
Me too.
That is a fun one. Okay, so you said something we need to talk about. So you moved to Colorado and went to work for Dr. James Dobson. I admire him. You have to tell us about that, Kimmy.
Well, I will say this. Dr. Dobson is one of the greatest men of integrity I've ever known. He is exactly as he seems to be. He's genuine. He deeply cares about the body of Christ, and he deeply cares about hurting people. And I considered it a privilege. I worked in the international marketing division, and so part of my job was helping to promote all of his material to other countries. And so it was a wonderful job to have at a very good time in my life. I had gone through a divorce, and so it was a wonderful healing place to be while having to go through that. And he just one of my treasured possessions is a letter he personally wrote to me. One of the people in the ministry had passed away suddenly, and it was somebody that Dr. Dobson was very close to, and he asked me to sing at the memorial service this song, and then wrote me a really lovely letter afterwards. So that's something that I really treasure. And I also, our friend Sons of the San Joaquin also had an opportunity while I was working there to come and sing for one of our chapel services. So that was another fun time when they were doing some music in Colorado at that time. So,
right.
Yeah,
so how did you get the job working there, Kimmy?
Oh, well, like I said, I had just gone through the divorce. I wasn't working at the time. I was a stay-at-home mom and raising the kids, and so it was out of necessity. I just had to go through the regular interview process like everybody else, and was just very fortunate that they hired me.
Yeah. So did you seek them out, or was it like you went through the newspaper, and it's like, oh, Focus on the Family is hiring? What did you do?
No. You were right. I did seek them out. I thought, you know what? I would absolutely love to work at a job where I felt like my marketing skills could be utilized, but at the same time work for the Lord. And so I actually did seek them out. I just got fortunate that they had something available at the time. So.
Oh, good. Oh, what a great memory for you, and what a wonderful opportunity during that time. So tell us, so after Colorado, which, by the way, is where you bought your first horse. I did read that in your bio. So you now have a horse and children.
Yes, I did. I bought Prince Rodrigo was his name, and I had him the 4 years that I was there. He was an Appaloosa gelding, and he taught me a lot, and I had always wanted to own my own horse. I had been riding on and off most of my life, but always horses owned by other people. And being raised in San Fernando Valley, there wasn't a lot of land left in the San Fernando Valley for horses other than the Chatsworth area. But anyway, so I did make that dream for me come true. When I did move to Texas, I did sell the horse before I moved, because I knew it would be a little more difficult to make the move and have the horse with me. So I had to let him go. But after I moved to Texas, I remarried, and we had horses. I had about 6 at the most when I lived in Texas.
Wow.
So I had the opportunity. Yeah. Yeah, so that was really neat. It is a lot. Yeah. It's a lot of horses to take care of. But they're so much fun, and they all have what?
And keep them ridden, to ride them all.
That is true. Well, at the time, we had a few that, you know, that we could ride, and a few that were in training, so. But, that was another wonderful time in my life. And, you know, horses teach you a lot about a lot of things. And I know this may sound really strange. They do. They really do. This may sound kind of strange. But, you know, I didn't mind cleaning stalls. You know, the time that I spent cleaning stalls. Yeah. The time I spent cleaning stalls was time I could just hang out with them and feel close to them and sing. And that was one of my favorite places and times to sing was when I would be doing that. So, yeah.
I am convinced that they appreciate when we clean their stalls out, and you can just kind of feel that they are appreciating it. And I am with you. I don't mind it at all. I don't.
Absolutely.
So now you continued your Cowboy Church ministry. You picked that back up again once you got to Texas.
Yes. I did some ministry in Colorado as well with cowboy evangelist named Coy Huffman, and would sing at sale barns and sing at different, Western events, wherever he would be called to preach. And if he wanted somebody to do music, he would call me oftentimes. And so that was a great time in my life. And I immediately got together with Russ Weaver and Anna Weaver. And Russ is the chaplain, I guess you could say, of the Cowboy Church program on the RFD channel with Susie McIntyre. And at the time when we were first starting out, the church was pretty small. It was about 40 to 50 people. And we were meeting at Walt Garrison's arena, which was an old riding arena that Walt Garrison had built. And so that's where we started out. And so started singing there at that time. And Russ and Anna became really close friends. And one of the neat stories, I was just coming from having been divorced and again into a new state and didn't know anybody, and it was just me and my two kids, and they took me out for lunch the first time I came to church and ministered to me and my kids through a time of hurting. And what I didn't know was that they had lost their 13-year-old son the day before and had just buried him the day before. And here they were the following day taking me and my kids out and ministering to us. And I thought, wow. Yeah, these people are real. They live the ministry, and that's still true to this day. Now, of course, they're a much larger ministry. They're in a big arena called the Diamond W Arena in Alvarado, Texas. And they have more than, I think, 700 to 800 people now that come to church on Sunday, and growing. So
that's awesome.
The Lord has really blessed their ministry. Absolutely.
Oh, it sounds like it. Oh my gosh. Well, that's what a blessing for you to be able to work with them and contribute to their ministry. And true people of the Lord that, that you put your own hurt aside and you deal with other people, you help the others around you. And yes, they sound like precious people. I hope I get to meet them sometime. That would be very cool.
I'm sure they would love it as well, Belinda.
I hope.
Pastor Russ, Pastor Russ loves the cowboy gospel music. And actually, he was just with me not too long. I had the opportunity to do the cowboy church at the Best Little Cowboy Gathering in LaGrange. I guess it's been a little over a month ago now.
Fine.
And Russ was with me there, and we had Kristen Harris, and we had Gene Prescott, and Gary Prescott, and Devin Dawson, and K.R. Wood. And so they all did the Cowboy Church with me, and Pastor Russ brought the message, and it was a real special time.
Oh, it would be. Those are all wonderful, wonderful people. So I can only imagine.
Yes.
That's so, so cool. Well, I want to get back to your new CD. I know we're kind of jumping around here, but I don't want to just gloss over this. It is a really, really well done CD to me. And I know that you worked with one of my favorite producers, Rich O'Brien. And
yes. So
tell us a little bit about the whole process of pulling your CD together, because people don't realize how complicated that really is.
Yes. Well, I've been friends with Rich for over 20 years, and I always knew that if I ever had the opportunity to do a project like this, that he would be the only one I would really want to do it with me. And I can tell you that he was just an absolute blessing. You and I know him to be a genius when it comes to music. His ability to arrange music and to get the musicians to know exactly what he wants is really unparalleled in the type of music that we do. And what I loved is I brought some songs to him that were not Western, that were kind of traditional Christian music. And I said, okay, how can we take this song and give a Western flair to it? And one of those songs was the 23rd Psalm. And it was originally written and performed by a Christian artist named Keith Green, who was real big in the 70s and 80s until he was killed in a plane crash, tragically. But that song, when I was a new Christian, had meant so much to me and was so comforting to me. And so I played it for Rich, and it's this big piano orchestra arrangement. And I said, now, can we take this song and give it kind of a cowboy Celtic feel? He only listened to it one time and then created a whole arrangement after just hearing the song once.
Wow.
And I thought, yeah, who can do that?
Yeah.
Rich O'Brien can, but oh my gosh, Rich, never in a million years would I have that kind of talent to be able to do that.
Oh,
so, so to have him produce the CD to me was a no-brainer.
But
he brought in, of course, some of, in my opinion, some of the greatest musicians as well. Gary Carpenter on the steel guitar is one of my favorites. I love Gary. And Jess Mitter, who plays with Jake Hooker in a Texas honky tonk band, is great. And Dave Alexander, who's a real famous Western swing player out in Texas. He has his own band, but he plays trumpet like nobody else. When it comes to Western swing music, I just love him. And Russ Rand on the upright bass and Michael Dahoney on the drums. And they're just were phenomenal. And
yes.
Rich also has, you know, the way of knowing exactly kind of where your heart's at and what you really want to do and arrange things around who you are as a person, as a performer.
Right.
So,
right. To really maximize your heart and also your vocal abilities to be able to stretch you out, but also to make you shine.
I would
agree
with that.
And just one word about Rich right now for our listeners. If you're praying people and you're listening, Rich O'Brien had to have double carpal tunnel surgery, and just because of the kind of insurance that he was, you know, forced to have being a musician and what you can afford and all of that, he was limited on the doctors that he could use, and that the initial doctor botched up the surgeries terribly, and he can't even hardly use his hands to even turn a doorknob, much less play a guitar. And so he is, but he has since, that the whole Western community came together and raised a bunch of money for him, and he's now having those surgeries redone by someone who's, you know, super, super qualified and the top in his field. And we are all very hopeful that we will have Rich back. His genius in arranging and producing will not be affected by his hands, but his incredible guitar playing that is masterful.
Oh, yes.
We do not want to lose that. So please do keep Rich in your prayers. He's just a precious man, and we would love to have him back full bore. Great guy. But so it's time for another one of your songs. And this one I thought was really curious, and I really liked it, and it was different than I expected. So tell us about Three Old Rusty Nails.
Well, that was a song that a friend of mine by the name of Funk Skelton used to perform at our church. And it's just something that I had really loved when he had done it. And he wound up leaving our church and starting his own cowboy church up in the Amarillo area. And so a lot of the songs that he used to sing, I kind of picked up and started singing at the church. And so this is one that I think it really talks about the sacrifice that Christ made. And even though it has maybe a little more of a country feel to it than a Western feel, it's still, it's just one of those songs that can really get to your heart.
Yes, I agree. So let's listen to Three Old Rusty Nails.
By trade, he came to build his father's house, the plans that they had made. His destiny was Calvary, his mission was not fair, for he built this church on a rugged cross with three old rusty nails. And this church
thinking, whoa, she sounds kind of sounds like Loretta Lynn there a couple of times. That was cool.
Well, good. I wouldn't mind being compared to Loretta.
Oh, I wouldn't either. I cannot believe how fast this hour has gone by, but there are a couple of things we just have to talk about before we let you go. First of all, you recently remarried, so tell us about your new husband.
Yes, Mark Munzert and I met via Facebook, and he had sent me a request wanting a copy of my CD, and when he sent his request, there was a slight little flirtation in the request, and so we started talking back and forth, and then we called and talked to each other on the phone, and then he flew out to Red Steagall's Cowboy Gathering, and that was the first time we actually met. And we continued to date for the rest of the year, and we got married in Alpine, Texas, at the Cowboy Gathering in Alpine. It was a little over a year ago, and our friend Jeff Gore performed the wedding ceremony, who's also a phenomenal singer and poet.
Jeff's been on the show. Wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Oh, has he? Great. And so he hauled me away to New York.
That's the other thing I want to talk about. What is a little Texas girl doing in New York City? I mean, come on.
Well, we are not quite in New York City. We're in the upstate New York area where it's a lot of beautiful country. But it's true. It's actually a huge cattle and horse industry in this state that a lot of people don't think about, the agriculture being the number two, I guess, whatever domestic product is really all agriculture up here. But
I had no idea. I really had no idea. There's like cattle ranches and horse ranches in New York.
Oh, yes. Yes, absolutely.
Wow.
There definitely are. We've got some good friends. We were just with Mark, and I performed at an equine festival a couple weeks back, and some good friends of ours trained Mustangs for the Mustang makeover at their ranch here in New York. And so there's starting to become more interest in the cutting horses and the working cow horse type industry in this area. So it's in its infancy, but it's growing. And
wow.
So there's a lot of barrel racers, you know, a lot of people that do rodeo events, even in New York. So Mark has been a judge and an MC at the Miss Rodeo New York contest. And so there is a Western community here. It's not super large, but we're doing our best to try to expand it here in New York. Mark still has a son who's 12, and so that's one of the reasons we'll probably be here for a little while longer, but eventually it is our plan to move back west. So.
Oh, good. We're glad to have you back this direction, but totally understand. You got to be a little New York girl for a while.
for a little while, but it's both of our desire to move back west when the time is right, so. But in the meantime, we will just keep trying to bring the Western culture here. So,
And there's something I want to thank you for. We were so blessed to have you at our Cowgirl True Girlfriend Getaway Weekend that I host every year in Wickenburg, Arizona, at the beginning of March. And you very graciously got up and sang for us on the Saturday night before our last night together. And it was just so precious, and it was so fun to have you a part of the entire weekend, and I just want you to know how much it meant to me to have you as part of that evening and just part of the whole weekend.
Thank you.
And I'm so glad, and I understand you're already making plans to come back for next year.
Yes,
I have to say this.
That's so sweet of you to say, but I have to tell you, it came at a time in my life where I just needed that refreshing, and all the ladies that were there were just amazing. And I mean, everything we did was great. And I was fortunate in the team penning. My team won the team penning contest.
Yes,
and so that
did.
Is the first blue ribbon I have ever won or spent. So Mark framed it for me with pictures and stuff from my experience that weekend. So I've got it framed already. But more than that, oh my gosh, what a time of honoring the Lord, and what a time of just sisterhood is a great word to describe what takes place there. And it was such a blessing for me. I you can't even know. It just meant the world to me to be there. So I was blessed very much.
Well, we were delighted to have you, and I'm even more thrilled that you're going to be coming back. And so it's just and it's really fun since we moved it from – it was in February, and we moved it for various reasons. You know, the ranch asked us to move it to the first weekend in March a couple of years ago. And ever since we've had like gorgeous weather every time. So I think that was a God thing, moving it to the first weekend in March, because that for some reason, I mean, it was just a couple weeks difference, but man, it made a huge difference in the weather. So, I mean, we had gorgeous weather, did we not, Kimmy?
we did. It couldn't have been any more perfect. And then, of course, getting away from New York during that time kept me out of the cold for a couple of weeks too, so that was a blessing. For a Western girl, that was a blessing.
Yes. Nothing more spectacular than riding a horse among the big saguaro cactus. I mean, that just kind of blows you away. It's pretty cool.
The landscape is striking. I mean, it really is. Now, but I also think of, Belinda, I'm glad I didn't get thrown from my horse because there's no place to land but in a cactus. So
yes, this is true.
So as long as you stay aboard your horse, you're okay. Oh, but it was wonderful. What a time of refreshing it was. I just loved it. Belinda?
So where can people get hold of you? Hello?
Hi. I'm with you.
Are you with me? Oh, okay, you're with me. Okay, yeah, I'm with you. Are you there, Timmy?
I am. I don't know what happened, but okay.
Yeah, for a second. Jerry's messing with us right now.
I think you were asking me.
Life's rugged road, stumbling neath a heavy load. I was headed for a fate of ill design. Many folks for me prayed, many pleas for me were made. I should have read that detour sign. Detour, there's a muddy road ahead. Detour, paid no mind to what it said. Detour, all those bitter things are mine. I should have read that detour sign. When I got stuck in the mud, all my hopes fell with a thud. But the blame for being stuck there was all mine. For I'd hear time and again, Christ could lift my soul from sin. I should have read that detour sign. Detour, there's a muddy road ahead. Detour, paid no mind to what it said. Detour, all those bitter things are mine. I should have read that detour sign. Lord, my life and soul resign. Now to others I say, who must pass along this way, better read that detour sign.